You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ohio Business Machine, hot topics of the day. The Browns offense, it's gone in reverse from averaging 23 points a game through being 6-3. They're just a little bit better than 12 points a game and losing 5 of the last 6. Is it the largest reason in your mind that this season has indeed gone from 6-3 to 7-8? Will Helms here. I'm Reg I. Nathan Zagura off today. Happy holidays, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hope you're all in the holiday and Christmas spirit and getting set to enjoy with loved ones and family. A lot to do, as we said. A lot of things on the table. We've got Mike Pettine coming up in about 10 minutes. 216-578-0850. Let's roll. We know you guys have been diligently patient with us. Here's our first man out of the huddle today, Larry at Cleveland. What's going on, Larry? Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, I want to know, would you draft another quarterback next year?
I would say not a first-round pick. If there's value at the quarterback position that Ray Farmer and his staff has taken a liking to, maybe in the third, fourth, fifth range, and that body is going to be talented. They're in most cases, again, going to have their own challenges that they're going to be up against to play in the NFL, and which is why they dropped that far into the draft. But then also, too, it's about the competition that Ray Farmer and his staff will have to bring here to Cleveland to get the best out of whoever is the starter next year at the quarterback position.
Yeah, Larry, I'm with Matt on that. I really would hate to see a first round, because you're going to have to move up to get
right.
One of the couple there. If we're talking Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston, they won't be available where the Browns would be picking. You'd have to package. You'd probably have to add a one next year. I don't want to get involved in that. I wouldn't be opposed, though, to taking a look at maybe a couple of guys who potentially are on the market. One of them that intrigues me as much as because of the system he was in, but also the stature. I said intrigues me. I want to do more with Ryan Mallett
yes.
of Houston.
Okay. You wouldn't think about trying to get Jay Cutler, would you?
I would not.
Me neither.
My eyes, Jay Cutler is damaged goods after this last run in Chicago. But then also, too, is Jay Cutler is not the play like a Brown personality that I want to interject into this locker room.
Now, what would make you say that, Wilhelm?
I've got a little bit of a pass with Jay Cutler, having played against him when he was in Denver. But he's not the greatest teammate, and he's not he's very selfish, it seems. And so you bring up a great point in Ryan Mallett. The other guys that I would see is because I don't believe they would be overly expensive,
mm-hmm.
But they have starting is, I'd say, Sanchez,
yep.
Mallett,
yep.
Jake Locker from Tennessee. Maybe
yep.
come here, right the ship, recreate his career here as a starter. And then lastly is Jimmy Clausen. Got
Jimmy
a chance
Clausen.
With They've got starting experience. They were
yep.
drafted high. Someone saw something in them, and I think they could come here. Mm-hmm. You know, we could do it on a budget and still be able to add pieces around him, a player like that here in Cleveland.
Yeah, know this, that someone, and I would say I'm going to classify and lump those type of guys we were just talking about, the young veterans.
Correct.
If
exactly.
you will.
Exactly.
The guys with 3 to 4 years in haven't really made their mark yet, but each of them intrigue a little bit. Foster in Columbus. Foster, welcome to the show. How are you? Foster, are you there?
Yeah. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Foster.
Lot to get to. I actually the topic that you're just referring to makes my blood boil, and I guess that's what I wanted to talk about is
Foster. I hate that. Could I ask you a favor, sir? And
yeah.
I apologize for Mike Pettine is just getting ready to speak live. Could you either hang on or call us back, and I'll put you.
Oh,
right
absolutely.
At the top
I'll
of the line.
Hang on.
All right. Very
on.
Good, Foster. Thank you very much for that, sir. All right, Mike Pettine getting ready to go. To the media. Chris, are we about ready with Mike? Okay. Mike Pettine is going to discuss with the media. I'm sure whether or not, you know, Tyler Thigpen was signed today, Matt. Connor Shaw up this week on the active roster. And again, we know if Brian Hoyer's got a chance to go, he is going to let Mike Pettine know that he can go and wants to make this start against Baltimore. I don't think there's any question about that.
No doubt. I think it's his press conference today will be a state of the union, maybe a little bit more detail about exactly where Brian stands, why they felt the need to go out and bring another quarterback that has been a part of this system back in, and if in fact Connor Shaw does have any chance to take reps and be a part of that conversation as we get closer to Sunday.
Yeah, so we got Mike Pettine coming up here in just moments. And don't go anywhere. You listen to the head coach of the Browns right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And then in the 2 o'clock hour, a big hour, we've got Under Further Review coming up. A wonderful opportunity for all of you to chat with us and get your tweets and comments in. Again, tweet the show. At Matt Wilhelm 57, at Michael Regai, at Browns underscore daily, and at Nathan Zagura as well. And we also are going to give our grades out. And that'll be for the Carolina game, as we do on the show each and every Tuesday. And even have an opportunity to chat with a lot of you and get your thoughts about that. So a big second hour coming up. Mike Pettine is making his way to the Dino Lucarelli.
He just walked by us.
He walked right by us.
So he's on his way down the stairs. In a matter of seconds, he should be at the mic.
Gave us the high sign that he's going to be on Mike's side here momentarily. And, of course, the Browns kind of revamping the week this week because, of course, of the Christmas holiday. Won't be practicing on Christmas, so Tuesday, normal player days off, but it's a work day for the Browns.
It definitely is, and again, I know we're going to get Pettine here, but I just want to share one quick story. Is I was, again, single guy in San Diego practicing in beautiful San Diego by myself, no family out in San Diego, and it rained on Christmas, and Marty Schottenheimer had us out practicing in the rain on Christmas afternoon.
Those NFL stories.
Merry
Christmas. Here's Mike Pettine, the head coach of your Cleveland Browns.
Back in the division this week against a very, very tough Ravens team. It's been a long time, seems like a lifetime, since we played them in week three, which was obviously a very tightly contested game. It came right down to the very end. Needless to say, a lot has changed for both teams in the meantime. They're coming off a very difficult loss against the Texans. They've been playing very well and took a step backwards. But John Harbaugh has always done an outstanding job of keeping them focused, despite any distractions that there might be. Justin Forsett has really emerged as a go-to back this year. He's been impressive. Steve Smith still obviously playing at a very high level. We know Flacco had a a regrettable performance last week. Other than that, I mean, he's been pretty solid. Defensively, they're very consistent, very strong up front. I know they've had some injury issues in the secondary, but they protect those guys very well, the way they rush the passer. I think that group of four outside backers is as good and as deep as any in the league. Suggs, McPhee, Upshaw, Doomerville. And they obviously have the sack production to back that up. So, again, this will be a typical AFC North game, I think very, very physical. Obviously our last opportunity to accomplish a goal, and we're still trying to stay in the moment, understanding this game is meaningful for a lot of reasons and for different reasons for some guys. There's some young guys, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, getting an opportunity to play. We don't know where we are yet at the quarterback spot, given Brian's health. So obviously made the move. We'll have Connor up, and then we added Tyler. But it just reminded the guys today that these opportunities are few and far between, and we need to cherish every one of them. It'll be over 250 days before we set foot on the field again in a regular season game. That we have plenty of time off, sooner than we wanted it to be, but we have plenty of time off coming up, so that we have to avoid the danger of looking past that. That this is still a significant game for us, and we obviously know it's very significant for them given their playoff status. I'll go ahead and open it up.
Is Brian sitting out today?
Yeah, he'll rest today.
Is it a little better today, or you said he was pretty sore yesterday?
I know it's improved. I just don't know to what degree. I haven't had a chance to get with him individually.
Would you start him automatically if he says he can go?
Yeah, we'll see where he is. I just don't know where. I don't know if we'll get to 100%. That's just something that we'll play by ear. We'll have to, just deal in the real circumstances that we're faced with. And right now he would be down, and we'll see if that changes as the week goes on.
You would just start Connor Shaw to see Connor Shaw?
No, and we'll make that decision at the end of the week. But like I said, I don't know if Brian can get to it's a hypothetical. I don't know if Brian can get to 100%.
Is this a situation where you make the decision before the week, or are you going to hold out till maybe Sunday morning to see if you can get Brian on?
Yeah, we haven't made a decision yet on the starter. I mean, Connor will certainly take all the reps today. I mean, it's a very low impact day for us anyway, just given that we're only 2 days out from a game that we've changed our schedule to accommodate the holiday. So it's very, very much a walkthrough. So it's a lot of learning stuff. Go ahead.
Can you describe how you decided on Tyler Thigpen and if there were any concerns about his arrest in November?
Yeah, obviously we all understand the seriousness of it and the circumstances. It was a very difficult situation for us to get a quarterback in here that's familiar with the system on such short notice. And I know that Tyler's going to have his opportunity down the road, to responsibly deal with his situation. But we reached out, as was already reported, we did reach out to Rex Grossman and to Tyler. They were two veteran guys that we had in camp, and the situation circumstances didn't allow us to have Rex here, so we Tyler was obviously there as well.
Are you familiar with the details of his arrest?
Not ultra familiar. I just know the circumstances. Again, it's a court matter, and it hasn't been settled yet. So we're comfortable with what we know, and he's here for this week.
Any injured player, how much winning the last game of the season when you're out of playoffs, you weigh that into deciding whether to play him, and why put a guy out there and risk further injury?
Yeah, I mean, especially if a guy has an injury where we're concerned about it, whether it's making it more serious or, I mean, there'll be some guys, there'll be some decisions at the end of the week. We just don't know where they are, whether that's Joe Hayden, whether that's Hawk, that have some Hoyer that have injuries that we just don't know. Where they're going to be come Sunday. That time's going to heal it. We just don't know if there's enough time between now and game day. But we will have other guys prepared to go if those guys cannot.
Do you think the quarterback situation is more unsettled going into 2015 than it was when you got here in January?
Yeah, I'm not going to reflect on that now. Our biggest concern is getting our guys ready to play this game. There's plenty of time when the season's over to assess the situations of what certain positions look like. I'm sure you can save that one till next Monday afternoon.
That in addition to the shoulder injury, I'm sure you don't want to get into details of Brian's injury, but someone reported that he also has a badly bruised biceps and along with it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the full details on it. I just know it was the shoulder was all I was told.
The order of business then, how do you pick up with Gilbert and Terrence West this week? Is it a clean slate for this week or what?
It is, but it's also a situation where they need to respond. I mean, this is something that it's very serious to us on how we approach our work and how we handle our business week to week. And it is a tough love circumstance for both of those guys that we expect them to you know, to uphold their end of the bargain, that nothing is given, whether it's playing time or being active or inactive. And both those guys are very well aware of their situations, and we're hopeful that they both have a good week and they can be productive for us on Sunday.
A few times that the quarterbacks haven't gotten the support they've needed around them. What specifically have you been able to pinpoint just from the last 4 or 5 weeks that isn't translating there?
Well, I just think it's you know, overall, it falls back to us being productive in the run game to start with. That what I've talked about for a long time is given our circumstances, our best chance to be successful when we were was we stayed ahead of the sticks, we ran the ball well. Where we completed some shorter, you know, control passing game stuff to stay ahead of the sticks. We weren't in third and long. And then there were some things defensively where, like at the Cincinnati game, where we fell behind and had to throw it a bunch. That we know that's not us. That if we're throwing the ball more than 30 times a game, that we're in trouble. Same thing with Houston. So it's a team thing. If we're going to have a chance, that we need to play at a high level defensively. We need to run the ball. We need to protect the quarterback and keep the quarterback out of situations where the league wide percentages are very much against us.
How much do you think that's an execution thing versus maybe a scheme thing? Is there any issues with?
Well, I think there's all the factors. Is it scheme? Is it talent? Is it execution? There's a lot of different things, and as coaches we do a self scout in the short term, and then when the season's over, we'll be able to go back to it in depth. And when we have a negative play, what caused the negative play? Was it schematic? If that's the case, then we need to take a look at potentially what we're doing, or build in some checks or some fail safes to get us out of a situation where a scheme would work against us. Is it technique? And as we build that list, if you have a recurring thing technique wise. And that kind of builds your list for, hey, this is as a position coach what I need to work on with these particular players. Maybe it's technique with one individual player that we know, hey, this is what this guy needs to get cleaned up. Or is it talent? And sometimes that's something you look at where if that's a recurring theme in your negative plays, then that falls into the realm of myself and Ray and the personnel staff that hopefully we can make an upgrade and eliminate those.
You were talking earlier about rookies making transitions.
What do you think has allowed Joe Bitonio to kind of come in? And it just seems like he's played like a five-year veteran. What's allowed him to have the success that he had this year, you think?
Yeah, like he and Kirksey and Desir are the guys I think it's a maturity thing. I mean, and Joel, I mean, we had a good sense that would be the case when he came in, and he's been as advertised and then some, that it just wasn't big for him, and just when you hear the backstory and about his family and how important his dad was to him and just all the circumstances that surrounded that, and you know what kind of kid he is at his core, that it's really not a surprise. And like I said, if you were here and walked around and just spent time with us, that you said point out the rookie, he'd probably be one of the last guys you'd point at.
Mike, that you were able to sense that with Joel Bitonio, that's how he'd come in and fit in. What were you able to sense with Justin when you were around?
Well, I think it's rare that you sense that with a player, the maturity. A lot of other guys you don't know. It's impossible to predict what will the transition to the NFL be like. You go from guys that are you know, on scholarship and maybe don't have a lot of money, and then all of a sudden it's how do you predict how will they react when they? I'm not saying that that's his problem, but that in general is one of the reasons why you see some, you know, there's hits and there are misses, is how will players, you know, and NFL teams invest a lot of money in trying to predict. And some guys, it's a process that where some guys don't handle it well early, and then they get settled in. You know, it's funny. I had Terrell Suggs when he was a rookie, and I mean, he was. You know, we called him, you know, Clifford the Big Red Dog. I mean, he was just like a puppy. He was all over the place. And then I think once some of the vets got around them and got him dialed in, I mean, he had a very frustrating, you know, early start through training camp, and was having a tough go of it, but got settled in. There's just so many examples of it. Just takes some guys longer than others.
Mike, what's your assessment of Desir
the other day. He played in like 95% of snaps.
He did, and he did play well. I mean, that was a tough matchup for him at times. I think Benjamin only ended up with about 40 to 50 yards receiving. And one of the catches was a heck of a catch. I thought Pierre misplayed it. Could have, if he had gone with the other hand, would have had a chance to at least break it up. But he was consistent. I thought that was a better matchup for him. Philly Brown is a little different skill set. I know he got beat on the one by him. It was a good route concept versus what the coverage that we were in. But very pleased with Pierre. I mean, just another good example of a young guy that prepped. You know, you can throw Scott Solomon into that mix as well. He was a guy that we'd identified as, hey, we want to get this guy up at some point. That he's, we want him to do more this year than annoy our offensive lineman with how hard he played on the scout team. That we thought that it would carry over to the game, and it obviously did.
Mike, are the problems here at the end of the season kind of an indication that maybe the bottom part of your roster it really needs to improve, because those are the guys that are playing with all the injuries you've had to deal with?
Yeah, and it is a fine line. We were close this week, and you look at the Colts game, and you look at some of our games earlier in the year that could have gone the other way, but that's part of the NFL, and that's, you know, we don't make excuses, and it's we're pass fail, and we've failed a lot lately, and when we look at it, I don't think it's that easy to just categorize it as, hey, that our guys that stepped up just weren't good enough, because that's on us. We had opportunities, and other than in a handful of games, Cincinnati being the obvious one, that there were some things that had we done differently or made some plays here or there and executed better, that the result would have been different.
Prior to this week, how much would Connor Shaw do, because Manziel was doing scout team? So.
Well, they split the scout team, and then there were times where the quarterbacks split and were doing they were in different spots on the practice field when we needed to. So. He got a decent amount of work, not a ton, but Johnny certainly wouldn't have taken. We've never had a quarterback, one guy, take all the scout team reps. It was always split.
You asked Mingo to do a lot of different things this year that he hadn't done in the past. The season's almost over. How do you think he transitioned from being pretty much a guy that rushed the quarterback to doing a lot of things? And what's your assessment of his season?
Well, he's still got a game left, but I know and again, we don't want to make excuses for a guy, but this is a guy that could have shut it down, but he decided to go ahead and play with the harness. And to me, that's a credit to him. But there's a level of consistency that he needs to achieve. But I think for the most part that he trended upward as the season went on, as he got a little bit more comfortable in the role. And I know we're all looking forward for Ming as he gets to the off season, that he can get the shoulder. I don't know yet if it requires surgery, but just get him healed up and then get him through a full off season and be that much better next year.
The guys come into the league in different sports and they have to sometimes reinvent themselves a little bit to survive. Is he one of those guys that they're probably going to have to do that?
Yeah. I don't think it's that drastic a change where it's a full, you know, reinvent, as you call it. I just think he can. We have a better feel for him and his skill set, and looking forward to him being healthy next year. And he had a great attitude about it this year. And I know that the production wasn't necessarily there with him, but there was. He made a lot of plays kind of behind the scenes where he caused production for other guys, whether it was causing a quarterback to step up or keeping a quarterback hemmed in the pocket or covering a tight end. Or keeping the quarterback from getting outside. I mean, he did a lot of those thankless jobs, and he did them well. So he graded out well at times. But I just know everybody wants to just look at sack production and for what we ask of him, that's not his primary job.
Mike, do you have any updates? Guys who left the game, Joe Hayden.
Yeah, Joe will see. He's day to day. I'm not prepared to rule anybody out at this point. I mean, we have a chance on some guys. We need to get Kaywan back. I don't have the list here in front of me, but we'll have a better sense afterwards. But it's we'll see. We're hopeful that that we can get some of those guys back.
Play.
We do. We do. I don't know when that the roster move has to take place, but that John will play this week.
All right, we got
revealing, as always, and we need to get into some of the revelations. That the thing I like about Mike Pettine is it's always straight up. He very rarely masquerades, sugarcoat stuff. Very rarely. And Matt, that's a quality, I mean, I really appreciate. Because don't you, as a player, you want to know from your head coach, coordinator, position coaches, how they view you and what, and necessarily, I mean, especially for the rookies. I mean, he made a big statement about, you know, he said that the maturity of Joel Bitonio, Christian Kirksey, and Pierre Desir was noticeable right away and allowed them to feel good about how they'd predict and project. So what's that telling you when both, as Mike Pettine walks by, as always, what is that telling you after a week of him putting down Terrence West and Justin Gilbert because their week of practice wasn't exemplary?
Well, I think it's great to have a head coach like this. And a lot of the reason is, and it's what we can hope for, and I don't see it there to be any reason that it's not, are those open lines of communications with the players and their roles and their expectations from the head football coach, so it leaves nothing in question, which makes you want to play for that man.
We'll get into this quite a bit in the second hour of the show, halftime here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regei. Happy holidays to all of you. We want to hear from you with regard to some of the things you've heard from Mike Pettine, our thoughts about why, what are the biggest factors that have seen this offense go from averaging better than 23 points a game to now down near 12 points per game over the course of the last six that the Browns have dropped five of. Lot to do. We've also got under further review, 216-578-0850. Tweet at the show, at Michael Regei, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Browns underscore daily, at Nathan Zagura. Let's go. Come on, Browns Nation. Big final hour here on this Tuesday workday for the Browns. Coming back with you in a moment.